Arizona Theater Company has undergone significant change in recent years with new leadership and new approaches to drawing a broader audience. Longtime artistic director David Ira Goldstein retired from the position, but his successor only lasted a year before moving to California. The new artistic director, Sean Daniels, has deep Arizona ties. As a kid, his parents took him to ATC performances, and the Udalls, who've represented Arizona in the legislature and Congress, are in his family tree on his mother's side. Daniels officially moved back to the Valley last week, and he's with me to talk about his ambitions for Arizona Theater Company. So, Sean, how much of the credit for your theater career goes to your upbringing in Arizona?
So, actually, I fell in love with theater at Arizona Theater Company. My parents were subscribers and were donors, which everyone should be, and they began taking me to shows also. And so I saw an Our Town there, I think I was 9, and it just blew me away in terms of what it is. So it was really that theater that made me fall in love with the art form. I feel so passionately about Arizona Theater Company because it's the reason I decided to go into theater.
What are the challenges there beyond financial? We know about the financial challenges. There's a lot of pressure because it's a statewide theater company.
Right.
Based in both Tucson and Phoenix.
Yeah, you know, I really believe that Arizona Theater Company could be a leading arts organization in this country, if not in the world. And I'm really excited to figure out how this is a place where artists from around the country want to come here. And, you know, I'm not interested in being a regional theater that kind of waits for New York to dictate what we're going to do in 3 or 4 years. I really want to figure out how the work that we do here can travel elsewhere, not just that it comes in. And so, you know, we're talking, and this is, you know, who knows what will happen with these projects. But, like, we even had a phone call this morning with the Hall & Oates people about if they want to develop a new musical, could they do that here in Arizona? And then could it go on elsewhere? And we have other playwrights that want to have their work done here and want to come be a part of it. Lauren Gunderson, who is the most produced playwright in the country, and we're doing her Silent Sky, she wants to come write a play and have it premiere at Arizona Theater Company.
Why do these people want to work here? Is it you?
I think that it's somewhat me, but I actually think the two-city model is very attractive to playwrights in terms of being able to work on something. You know, what playwright, what artist wouldn't want to work on something and then get to work on it again immediately afterwards? The way it normally works is you get your first production, and then if you are lucky, like a year or two later, you get your second production. So I actually think one of the things that maybe people have thought about in the past as a challenge actually is one of the great benefits of this.
Are there certain lingering negatives that you still have to deal with?
I think there are narratives that people start to say over and over again, and sometimes that is unrelated to what the truth of it is. And so, you know, listen, it's tough to run a regional theater or a not-for-profit of any kind anywhere. And I think we face the same challenges everyone else does. The thing that we have is a lot of potential. The turnaround of this organization that also led by Billy Rousseau, who's the managing director over the last couple of years, has been phenomenal. And you've just seen the support that we've gotten. So it's nothing from up but here. You know, but I also think, like, we have to, as a theater, figure out what is the competitive advantage that our art form has. What is the things that you can only get from going to the theater? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I have a very nice couch and Netflix has put $1 billion worth of programming on it, and I can adjust the temperature in my house from my phone. You know, so it's like we have to figure out what are the things that make theater specific as an art form that you can't get from your phone and you can't get from your TV. And it's interesting if you think about when you go to see a comedy in the theater, you laugh differently when there's 400 other people around you, right? You laugh differently at that than you do, say, watching something like The Office, which is hilarious, but you may not laugh out loud the entire time. And so figuring out where are these moments of joy, where are these moments of connectivity, that I think the more that we get device heavy, we're only going to be hungrier for moments that we can come together and actually spend time sitting next to other people. I also think, you know, you'll see a little bit of a shift in programming over the next couple of years. And the programming that we do, I think, will be a bit more nationally exciting. And it'll also be the type of thing that I think also brings in people that maybe didn't already consider themselves theatergoers, or maybe didn't even realize that world-class theater was happening in their town.
Well, that takes us to a very interesting path that we, of course, had to get to. How does an organization keep the loyal audience that has been supportive, that has filled the seats and filled the coffers, without alienating them while you also want to get younger folks who have different backgrounds?
That is the million-dollar question. Everybody wants to figure out how to bring in new audiences without alienating the ones that they already have. And we've watched theaters try to do it too quickly, you know, kind of burn the house down on promising that other people will arrive momentarily, and they do or they don't. You know, I think we have the real luxury of that we do six shows, you know, throughout a season. And so are all six shows exactly for you? Maybe, maybe not. But what I think people are interested in is six curated evenings over the course of a year where they perhaps get introduced to things that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise. I always like to think of a season as like a great dinner party. Like one loud guy is really fun at your dinner party. Two loud guys will destroy it, you know? And so I think the way we bring new audiences in is that we figure out like this show we're really going to push in terms of like, I think this is a really exciting show for people to, you know, a different people that have been with us before. Mm-hmm. So American Mariachi that we just closed in Tucson and Phoenix is the best selling play in the theater's history. And that's a great example of like, does that mean that now we're going to do six mariachi plays a year? No, but it was a great opportunity to bring people in that had not been there before and now figure out the steps along the way to invite them back to see other things. And I think if you love the art form and you love being a part of it, you want to look around and you want to see a packed house and you want to see people younger than you and you want to see people that don't look like you, because that means that your arts institution will exist in 40 years.
So one word that's used a lot is diversity. Where's the pressure point for you on that? You obviously, this is a very diverse place. You want to get, as you mentioned, younger people. You want to get people of different backgrounds, of different ethnic groups. At what point do you do it? Do you make sure that you're seeing people that other people aren't seeing without it being, frankly, seeming like it's pandering?
Well, I think the thing that you always have to do is that the work has to always be of an incredibly high quality, right? That you have to say that everything that we put on, we are incredibly proud of. And it just maybe takes a little bit more work to find the shows that accomplish several things that you want. So the first show of our season, The Royale by Marco Ramirez, this won Best New Play in New York, in London, in LA, in Boston, you know? And so it's a diverse play, and it's about the first time that African-Americans were allowed to box whites. And so I think for a sports town, it's a really fascinating show to be able to do. It's also a fascinating show because it's about 100 years ago. So there's also a great question about, as you know, we see African-American athletes kneeling today in the response, like how far have we come or not come in terms of like how political do we want our sports figures to be? It's a phenomenal play. And so I think like that's always what you start with. Do I think that we have to reflect the community that we live in? 100%. We have to. It is a struggle for every not-for-profit to remain relevant in terms of what it is. And, you know, there's a version where we just take care of the audiences that we have and we write out the next 20 years and that's it, you know. But I think every art form wants to figure out, like, how can it be relevant today? How can it be when you walk into the theater, we're having a conversation about what does it mean to be alive today?
Is there that excitement, pressure, stress, all this stuff sort of being juggled at once? And how are you going to be able to, like, what are the best ways for you to handle sort of a daunting task like this? Like, how do you approach it?
My great-grandfather was the Chief Justice of the Arizona Supreme Court, and I have two great-uncles who were mayors of Phoenix. And so it's a responsibility in terms of, like, making sure that the art form that I believe in gets taken care of in this city and the state that I love so much. Like, that keeps me going. That keeps me excited about what it is in terms of every day, you know, if we have to go raise money or we have to bring more people in, I think that I believe in it, so I'm able to do it.
Sean Daniels is new artistic director of Arizona Theater Company. Sean, great to meet you. Thanks.
Great to meet you. Thank you.